back, pulls up the three, boom, knocks it down. Curry from the corner at three, puts it in.
For overtime, makes it, Garrett, Murray.
Welcome to the latest edition of the MVP Cast from me, Mark Woods. My guest on this edition is Tia Waleji, guard for the Caledonia Pride, international for Cameroon, graduate of Princeton. And at this moment, we're sitting in a coffee shop in Edinburgh where she's midway through an interesting first year overseas. Welcome to the MVP Cast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about your experience here first. I mean, coming out of college, obviously everyone's first season overseas is very different. You're taking a kind of step into the unknown. How's it been for you?
It's been really great so far. I mean, my teammates, my coaches, even like my professors have been really welcoming and accommodating to me and have really made me feel at home. So I think that's played a big part in me being able to adjust so quickly and perform well, not only on the court, but also in the classroom.
Coming out of Princeton, so Ivy League, the kind of degree that everyone always wants, set you up for life. What made you think, I'd still like to play some more basketball rather than going and earning big bucks somewhere doing something, I'm not going to say more important, but something significant?
Mm-hmm. Basketball has always been such a big part of my life. I mean, I've been playing since I was about 6 years old. And it's just been something that's been so close to my heart. And I thought it'd be a really cool experience to be able to use that to travel, see other places, see other cultures, meet new people, and to experience something that I probably wouldn't be able to without basketball.
You did your degree in biology, but you're doing your master's in, is it sports policy management, that kind of area? Is this a sort of thing of I don't want to do the lab anymore, I want to do something that's basketball sport related in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I really, really enjoyed biology and the sciences in undergrad, but I didn't see myself making a career out of it. And I obviously really love basketball and sports in general, so I wanted my career to kind of focus or be close to sports. So I thought that like sports management, sport policy could help me do that.
We talked about Ivy League, and obviously in America, those are the elite universities, the Oxfords and the Cambridges of the US. And Princeton has such a big history with basketball, with the Tigers program and obviously the schemes that have come through it. But ultimately, those are universities where you're there for academics. You know, the brains, the bright young brains of America go there. Hard, difficult, or what's the challenge you have going somewhere like that to balance getting the most out of your basketball career, but also taking the most advantage of the academic opportunity?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, especially your first couple years there. I'd have to say the main thing is time management and prioritizing what needs to be prioritized. Basketball and school were obviously a big commitment while I was there, so just really putting most of my time into those two and focusing on them, making sure that I could do the best in each of those.
Was there a choice for you coming out of high school? Because I'm sure you were recruited with your high school career, recruited in other places. Was that for you the biggest thing, to go to a great school over maybe a greater basketball school?
For me, yes. Basketball obviously is going to end one day, and I'd like to have something else to fall back on and be able to contribute to the world, contribute to my community, even when I'm not playing basketball. So Princeton was definitely my number one choice, because I know it can set me up for opportunities outside of basketball as well.
There's a quote on your Twitter feed, and I'm going to cite it to you here. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. I mean, as someone coming out of an Ivy League school, where do you see that power that you want to have or want to utilize?
Mm-hmm. So I think that power comes from just the knowledge I've acquired at Princeton and attending there, but also through the relationships I've made. I mean, Princeton is such a diverse school, and you meet people from all types of backgrounds and all types of cultures. And I think just that knowledge and learning about the world and about yourself is what makes us as humans just so powerful and gives us the ability to give back to our community.
Is that important? I mean, obviously, we sit here looking at America from afar, but in terms of the African-American community, and you're literally African-American, first generation. And when you go to somewhere like Princeton, is there more of a pressure on you going there to excel and to stand out, but then also be able to put something back somewhere along the road?
Put something back in what?
In terms of, you know, taking that back to your community or being a role model or in reinvesting that?
Yeah, for sure. Princeton and the Ivy League in general isn't, it's diverse, but not as diverse as obviously other universities. So I think Being one of the fewer African Americans on campus, there is a little bit of a pressure to kind of be a role model for younger African Americans who aspire to get a great education that Princeton has to offer, other Ivy Leagues have to offer, and just showing them that this color of your skin doesn't determine how great you can be or how where you can go to school or the success you can have.
I was reading an article recently about someone who was at Cambridge, and again, another university that well known in it for its lack of diversity, shall we say. I mean, is it a weird thing to be on campus where you're very much in a minority?
So I grew up in Overland Park, Kansas, which is a very predominantly white area, so I've kind of gotten used to being the minority. But it's always a challenge. It's always a little bit difficult just not always having people who can relate to you as much. But definitely at Princeton, there is a small community of Africans and African-Americans that I definitely felt close-knit with and who really helped me grow and also embrace my heritage and my culture.
Probably set you up very well for living in Edinburgh, one of the least diverse cities in the UK.
Yeah, for sure.
Your dad... I'm sure a big influence has coached you, played for Cameroon national team back in the day. How much of an influence was he in, you bringing you, your two sisters play basketball as well. How much of an influence was he in getting you into this sport?
He was basically everything. I wouldn't even be interested in this sport if it weren't for him. Basically, since we could walk, he introduced us to the sport. But then as we grew up, he was not only our biggest critic, but our biggest supporter in everything we did. Where that's taking us to the gym, get extra shots, critiquing our game after we played and showing us we can do better. We and myself, I wouldn't be here without his expertise and his leadership throughout my life.
How much was he? Because he, if I understand, he went from Cameroon to the UK to US and then got his degree in the States, etc. I mean, how much, I guess your mother as well, how much was that for them that, yeah, you can do this, but you've also got to get your academics right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always been the main thing. They love us playing sports, but it's always been about academics. And what they've really tried to help us understand is that sports can actually help you get a good education and help you be able to travel like I am now and see other things. So just using sports as like a means to get a good education and overall get good experience.
Your dad, Conrad, was he playing for a national team. How have you ever seen any footage of it? Were there photos of it? What have you found?
So I've actually tried to look him up a couple times, but it's hard because it was so long ago. There wasn't as much social media and videotaping and all that. He has pictures and maybe some videos at home, but I haven't seen them yet. But I'm very keen to see them one day.
Did he talk about it much?
A little bit. What I've heard from most is actually his teammates or his siblings or people who knew him when he was playing and still know him today who have said that he was such a good player, that he could do all these things, but I still haven't seen it yet, so I'll believe it when I see it.
You've just seen the stats somewhere in a random market.
Yeah.
where did he live in the UK and for how long?
So it was somewhere around London. I can't remember the exact city. And he went to boarding school here when he was in his 20s, I think. So before he went to the States for college, I think it was maybe 3-4 years that he was here. But he really loved it. And his older brother went with him, too. So they had a great experience. They played soccer while they were here, so didn't play as much basketball. But, yeah.
Like most people in this country.
Right.
When you're growing up and your sister was at Brown, I believe, and your younger sister's now at Penn. Good. Glad I got this the right way around. Where was the focus for you guys into basketball? Was it just something you was always there, or was it something you guys, one of you played and the other two felt the need to be competitive and join in? Where did it all start?
I'd have to say it started with my oldest sister when she first started playing when she was younger, and then as the rest of us came along, we just jumped right into it. It's kind of been something very special to all of us because it brings us together in a very unique way. It's just been the really center part of our family. Essentially, we always call ourselves the basketball family. So,
growing up in Kansas, was it battles in the driveway until death? In the evening, what was the dynamic?
We didn't really go against each other that much. I played with my sister in high school, and then a couple just friendly games with my younger sister. So we never really went against each other. We're mostly on the same team. Didn't really have that competitive blood against each other.
It's not done you any harm, though. You seem to be doing okay.
Yeah.
With seeing your sister in college, two years ahead of you, roughly?
3 years, yeah.
With seeing her in college, did that I guess at some point make you think, yeah, I want to do this because it's, you know, it's a decent school you maybe see occasionally on TV. Does that make you think, yeah, that sounds kind of cool?
Yeah, so actually before my sister went to Brown, I didn't really even know much about the Ivy League and didn't really have much interest because I didn't know. But once I saw her go there, and she just really opened the door to my future and opened my eyes to see that there were so many really amazing institutions in the East Coast that I could attend through basketball. And she was definitely like the trendsetter for that of our family.
It's pretty cool. Three sisters, three all playing basketball, all Ivy League. That's quite a nice trio.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Does that, did you always sort of maybe push one another to be, again, it goes back to maximizing your abilities. Was there that sort of thing of, yeah, I've seen one person study hard, but also play, so I have to do the same?
Yeah, for sure. Going back to my older sister, she's always been the brains of the family. I mean, now she's at med school, so she's always set that like really high standard of not only achieving on the court, but achieving in school. And just through her, we've seen that, we've just seen the hard work, persistence, and where those can take you in life.
At Princeton, you did some marketing work as well, and there was, you know, amongst the other interests there. And for, I guess people here, we always look to the States for trends, learning points, etc. You're at a school that's maybe, it's not on national TV, so it's not the most high profile. So when you're doing that on the side, what did you kind of learn there from maybe trying to push that into the public eye, get people to buy tickets, pay attention to it? What things did you see there that you think, actually, you could probably apply that over here?
Apply it in what sense?
In terms of, you know, how you market, how you sell, how you promote the game of basketball.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is relationship with people and finding things that people can relate to. Obviously, people will like want to buy things and are interested in things that they can personally connect to. So I think just finding that connection and finding something that draws people in is the best way to market. I'm not sure if I answered your question, really.
Well, how have you seen it? I mean, I saw you last weekend at the Scottish Cup Finals. There's a, you know, a small-scale event, and obviously there's the Pride Games. You go to other teams around the country. What's your impression of the way that this league is marketed and, I guess, promoted?
The WBBL. Actually, I've been really impressed with this league. It's run very professionally, from the live stats on the league to everything is very, or on the website, I mean, everything is very updated, and even the games are very well run. And I think that, I don't know about the other teams necessarily, but our games, I know, are marketed very well. I know Frazier does a really good job with promoting our games, and even we had like little Scottish tour and went around Scotland to play different areas. So I think actually it's, I was very impressed with how well the league is run and also Caledonia Pride program is run.
We're almost at March, which I guess must be a nice special time for you. I mean, you, I think, had three appearances in the NCAA tournament. What's that like as a player? Because we kind of see it from very much afar here, but when you're in the inside of it this time of year, you probably know that you're going, and you guys were winning so many games, you probably knew pretty early that you were going to. What's the kind of excitement and build-up level like for that?
Yeah, I mean, those were some of the most exciting times of my college career, and I was actually just thinking a couple weeks ago about how fortunate I was to be able to do that, because there's obviously a lot of players who go through their college experiences and don't get to experience the NCAA tournament. So I think that was one of the highlights of my career, just playing against the top of the top competition and playing on the national stage in front of so many eyes. It's such an amazing time, such an amazing period, and I'm really looking forward to now supporting the Princeton Tigers. Hopefully they can make the tournament again and go far in it too.
Is there more or less pressure when you're an Ivy League school? Because for those who don't, I guess, understand college basketball, you've got your big conferences that are very much basketball-driven or athletics-driven. You know, the likes with Duke play in the ACC and such so forth. Ivy League is obviously known for academics. But does that change in any way how you guys approach the tournament? Because I guess you're there as a outsider, a long shot, etc.
I mean, when you choose Princeton, you know that you're not only going to have to commit a lot of time to basketball, but also to your school and balance those. So going into the tournament or just the season in general, we know that we are going to have that extra time demand of really high academics, but we don't let that affect how we go into games or how we prepare or make us feel like less prepared. We still do what we need to do to prepare for our games and for the tournament, regardless of that academic pressure.
What's your best memory of the tournament?
Probably my freshman year when we beat I'm spacing on who it was, but the president was there. So my teammate Leslie, she's the president's niece actually. So he came to our game, and it was like one of the coolest things ever.
Obama, I presume.
Yeah, Obama. Yeah.
Did you get to meet him?
We didn't, but we got to meet his wife a couple games earlier in the season when she came to our game in DC. So that was also really cool.
What's that like when you're sitting there and the president is in the house?
Yeah, it was honestly so surreal. Like, it didn't even feel like it was like, I didn't know what was going on, but it was really cool looking back.
And what did you say to Michelle, or what did Michelle say to you?
So she addressed our team as a whole, and I think it was at halftime. So she basically just like said, encouraged us to like keep going, working hard. And we ended up taking a picture with her at the end, but it was just so amazing to just like be in her presence, someone who's so inspirational to a lot of people in the States and outside of the States too. It was really cool.
Is that, I mean, mid-game obviously you're probably trying to focus and your coach is probably wanting to say, okay, we need to make these adjustments or those adjustments, but what was it like in back out the second half there, having heard this rally speech from the First Lady?
It was really inspirational. I think, I don't remember exactly how that game went, but I can assume that we came out with a lot more fire and just a lot more passion to just, I don't know, show the First Lady that we can do what she told us to.
I imagine she could be a pretty decent coach if she wanted to be.
Yeah.
Outside of college, because you played for Cameroon, so you're following your dad's footsteps, you're following your sister's footsteps again. I see, having grown up in the States, what was the process of you going, I want to do this, how can I do this?
So actually, they kind of reached out to us. They've always known of my dad because he played for the team, obviously, and then when we started playing basketball, they kind of heard of us. So they reached out to us, asking us, inviting us to come play with them, and I mean, it was an opportunity that we couldn't turned down. I mean, playing for our country and representing our country in the same way our dad did was something that we really wanted to do and really exciting for us.
Had you been to Cameroon before that point?
I had not actually. That was my first time going. Well, so we actually went before the tournament for a family vacation, but then that same summer was when we went back for the training camp.
So what's that like, going out in the vacation and then subsequently going back for this homeland that your father came from? Is there, what's the emotions like pitching up there for the first time?
Going back to Cameroon, it was absolutely amazing. So my father is from Limbe, which is like the English speaking, and my mom's from around Yaoundé, which is like the French speaking. So it was very cool to visit those two different areas and see like the contrast between them, but also the similarities. And just even though we hadn't been there before, it just going there, it felt so much like home. Like that's like where we belong, where our heart was. And then just seeing all of our family members and seeing some of them for the first time, it was a surreal experience.
What surprised you most about it compared to, I guess, what you always grew up imagining what it might be like?
I mean, I had seen pictures, so it was kind of similar to what I had expected. But I guess the biggest thing was just the like the free feel of life. Like life is a lot slower paced there, and it's a lot less stressful, I guess, in the States. And obviously, going to Princeton, everything's pretty high energy and kind of stressful. So just like being able to relax and just enjoy, and people are just always happy and in a good mood and very welcoming, a very close-knit community. So that was probably the biggest thing. Yeah.
How much did you kind of get to, apart from sort of following back to the family roots, how much did you kind of get to branch out and see the country and get a, you know, a taste for all of it?
Yeah, so we actually traveled around a lot. So our uncle kind of took us on like tours of different places and showed us all around different cities, different parts. So it was really cool to see all the different parts of Cameroon, for sure.
I mean, it's a country that, in a quiet way, has become quite potent at basketball, because obviously Joel Embiid in Cameroon doing so well, All-Star, you know, Luke Amute, Pascal Siakam with the Raptors, etc. I know you're just getting a small taste, but why is there players coming out of Cameroon?
So I think Cameroonian players have always been pretty good and pretty talented. It's just recently now, or within like the last decade or so, people are realizing that you can get an education through playing a sport. And so I think they're making it more of a priority to, you know, try and come to the States to play sports and get education. And then also coaches in the States are now looking more to West African countries in general to get some players as well. So I think that's been a big part in more Cameroonian players coming out recently.
I mean, everyone, especially in my generation, remembers the sort of crazy Cameroon football team that went to the World Cup, etc., and Roger Miller and people like that. You were the first, probably the first African soccer team to make an international impact. you've played for the national team in Cameroon, obviously, in a few tournaments now. What is the level of basketball like for players maybe who are developed on the ground, or even those who have just have maybe grown up in the country and gone away overseas?
The level of Cameroonian
level of play, the, you know, the development and the structure of it, like?
Oh, I think it's definitely getting a lot better now. On my team the last time around, we had some players who, like you said, have played in Europe, and some players who have only played in Cameroon, but I think the level is really increasing. People are becoming much more keen to playing sport and playing basketball, and yeah, so I think the level is definitely improving.
You played with your sister, so you're going in obviously knowing someone on the team, but then you go and sort of meet other people on the team, get their experiences as well. How much does that kind of help you to, I guess, bond with the country or maybe learn more about the country than you would otherwise have?
Yeah, so like I said, there's a very wide range of Cameroonians, I would say, on our team. So some who grew up there, some who have moved away. So I think just having those different aspects and those different perspectives on the country, and obviously people are from different cities in the country, has opened my eyes to see how diverse actually Cameroon is and how many different perspectives there are.
What do you get from playing international basketball that you hadn't got from playing college and high school?
Yeah, so one of my favorite things is playing against other countries, because basketball is so much different. It's very much the same, but also very different as you go from country to country. And I think it's just very cool to see everybody representing their own country and then playing against other countries and seeing how their styles of play vary depending on like the region they're from. And it's just a very humbling experience to play against so many different cultures, so many different backgrounds, and just be able to see so many different angles of basketball, that the sport that I've loved for so long.
I mean, getting to play in an AfroBasket, so the African equivalent of EuroBasket, and obviously every country's got their pockets of fans coming along and supporters, and there is that national pride at stake. What was that like to go into that kind of atmosphere? Because I suppose it's as close as you get to playing in an NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm. So Cameroonian, well, African fans in general are very, very passionate about their team. So it's definitely fun to play in front of Cameroonian like fans and crowd, and just feel that sense of pride, and just such it's just so special to feel like you're representing like your whole country and everybody that resides there. So yeah.
Then you go to an Olympic qualifying tournament, which was in Nantes ahead of Rio Olympics. And okay, you guys were getting in as long shots for that, but you're that close to an Olympics. When you go to that event, do you think maybe, just maybe, this might happen?
Yeah, it was very overwhelming because that was my very first time playing with Cameroon national team. So looking back, if I had maybe had more experience in playing with them, it would have been, we could have maybe done better. But it was definitely such a cool experience, just knowing that you're actually so close to the Olympics. It's just like something that you've always wanted to do. But it also gives us more hope and more determination for the next time around, because now we're obviously, everybody's more experienced and we're more prepared to try and actually get there this time.
And this time, rather than your older sister, you'll have your younger sister, I guess, with you as well along for the ride. So does that improve the odds or not? You know, would you choose that?
It's hard because they're very different players. But my younger sister is probably plays more like me, so I think we might complement each other better. And I've never really played with her in like organized basketball, because we are 5 years apart. So like we were 1 year off from high school and 1 year off from college. So I think it'll be cool just actually playing together on the same team for the first time.
How ridiculously cool would it be to play in an Olympics before you're done with this?
It would, like, that's my dream. It would be so amazing. Yeah.
When you turn up for a national duty, does it, I mean, you take the learning that you've taken from college, and you've done a little bit of coaching in terms of grassroots coaching, but do you find yourself consciously trying to be a leader and to try and teach, or do you step back, particularly with your dad as being the assistant coach, is also now, I believe, going to be the head coach on the team? How do you try and take your knowledge and bring it to the national team program?
So my last 2 years at Princeton, especially the last year when I was a captain, I've definitely developed a lot of leadership qualities. And then also now playing on Pride, when there's basically everybody on the team is younger than me, it's really made me develop my leadership skills. And I think now going back to the Cameroonian team, I'll be able to use that in leading the players, not only on the court, but off the court, and then just helping with like tactical things, But yeah, definitely different from my first time around when I was just a sophomore, I think. So I was still pretty young, even in college basketball, and didn't really have as much experience as I'd want. So just going back now, I think that, yeah, definitely I will have that leadership role.
Any crazy experience you've had while traveling in the road to different outposts and playing in Africa that's maybe been quite different to playing in the Ivy League?
What do you mean?
Just to stand out in terms of, you know, maybe something that was a bit off, didn't quite work, or, you know, different arenas or whatever.
Nothing that crazy. I mean, international basketball is just different from NCAA basketball in general. So I just think getting used to, like, the rules and the different, all the different little tactical things in the game was probably the biggest adjustment. But it wasn't anything too crazy.
You come to the Pride, and they're a team that had a lot of transition. That's probably understating it last summer. It's a very young team with a lot of young Scottish players on the team. You come in here, obviously Coach Bart Sengers is looking for you to definitely be a leader on this. Have you enjoyed that responsibility? Because you've got players who are 15, 16, 17 on this team that you're playing at. It's very different to Princeton. How have you kind of, I guess, manage that yourself while not forgetting to actually do your job on the court?
Yeah, so at first coming in, I was thinking it was going to be a pretty big challenge. I was kind of nervous about it, but I really enjoyed it just because they all work so hard, and just helping them along and helping them be their best is one of my greatest accomplishments, I think, here.
Just in terms of, you know, that leadership, I mean, how do you set a tone, I guess, when practice and games, etc.?
I think just leading by example, because I haven't really been that big of a vocal leader. So just leading by example and always just working hard, being the hardest worker, being very coachable, showing them how to be coachable, and just showing them the ropes in that way, and just like my actions.
Is it energizing as well, like playing with some of the players that are that young that have got their whole careers ahead of them as well?
It is so cool, and I love watching, even just in the couple of months I've been here, just seeing them develop, and I can already see that they have such bright futures in basketball, but also just in life in general. I mean, they're such fun players to play with, and just fun people to be around. So it's definitely like kind of a motivator, an energizer, and an inspiration just to be around them and play with them.
We said at the top of this, we're sitting here in the middle of Old Town Edinburgh, so the castle's just up the road, the palace is down the hill, you're here for a stay. What have you done to kind of make the most of this overseas experience away from just playing basketball or away from academics?
I've been to Arthur's Seat. I haven't been to the castle yet, which I still need to go to. But so I've become really close with the other Americans, Dory and Raquel. And Dory has been here for, I think, 5 years now. So she's been really helpful in like showing us different like little spots in Edinburgh and just kind of taking us around. And it's such a beautiful and beautiful city, and there's just so much to do, so I really hope I can do the most of it before I leave. But it's been so much fun just exploring and seeing different things.
Do you ever get them to sort of, when you're on a road trip, take the bus to some sites and cities or whatever, get off and take a photo, get back on? I'm sorry, it sounds like National Lampoon or something, but you know, do you try and take in these trips around the country?
When we're on away trips, we don't really do much except for just driving to the gym and playing. But we did go to Barcelona for a tournament around Christmas time, and then we got to sightsee a little bit, which was really fun. And that was a really cool experience, just to like see other countries of Europe. But then I also went to London a little bit with my dad while he was here. But I'm hoping in the spring, maybe after season, to see more of Edinburgh, see more of the UK in general, and then maybe a couple of other European countries. But
when you've got the degree from Ivy League, and then you get your master's from University of Edinburgh, do you keep playing after this, or where do you see this going when you've obviously got a brain you'd like to use it, I guess, at some point? What's the kind of long-term plan in this?
Yeah, so ideally, if my body allows, if I'm healthy enough, I'd like to play for a couple more years and just kind of do the same thing, play in other countries and just experience those cultures and see, just kind of travel and use basketball to see other things. And then whenever I do finish playing in a couple of years, I'd like to use my degree that I get here from sports management to work in any sports firm, whether that be like FIBA or anything like that, because it also has an international development component of my degree here. So just using that in some way to mesh like sports and international something, I don't know. So we'll see.
So maybe the first female Secretary General of FIBA at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, we wish you very best of luck. We enjoy the rest of your stay, of course, with Caledonia Pride, and the very best of luck for the rest of the season. Tia, thank you very much for joining the MVP Cup.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's all for this edition. You can download previous editions at mvp247.com. We'll have a new one soon, but for me, Mark Woods, thanks for listening, and catch you soon.